Hey, everybody. Welcome to the VS Code live stream release party. We do these, once a month now? It's a lot of fun. Thank you for being with us. We've got four demos today about some of the new stuff in VS Code, the latest release. A couple notes before we get started. This will be about 30 minutes long. So if you miss this, it's okay. You got to drop. You can check the recording out later. No problem. My name is Burke Holland, still not Brian Clark, your normally scheduled host. He's still out. He should be back. Don't worry. When he gets back, you can give him all kinds of grief about like, where have you been? Why did you leave us with this guy? He has no hair. I am sorry. Okay. Couple notes. First things first, follow us on YouTube. We are putting out some videos there and we'd love to engage with you there in the comments on those videos. I think producer, can we get the, we have a ticker for the YouTube link here. I think it's just youtube.com/cut. Look at that. Easy peasy. Secondly, who here's on TikTok? Are you on TikTok? Did you just spit your coffee out on your keyboard? It's okay if you did. I never thought I would be on TikTok, but we are. And it's a lot of fun. So if you can get over the words TikTok and join us there, we'd love to see you there. We're making some videos there as well. And then lastly, we have a meetup group. We have a meetup group on meetup.com. Meetup.com. That's right. And join us on that meetup group. It's a great way for us to connect with you and sort of let you know what's happening, what's coming. You know, we have this live stream that we do once a month. We've got another live stream coming up. It's going to be about, should I tell you what it's about? I'll give you a hint. The first word is note. The second word is books. You figure it out. So that's coming up. So you'll want to know about that. Connect with us on the meetup group. And we can let you know when that stuff happens. Do we have a producer? Do we have a link for the meetup group? Just make sure we get that up there. Outstanding. Whoa, there it is. That's a URL. You should type that in now. It's going to take you at least 2.5 minutes. Okay. All right. We've got a lot to get into today and not much time to do it. So let's get right to it. Our first demo is from Rachel McFarland. Everybody, welcome Rachel to the virtual stage here. Hey, Rachel, how are you?
Good. Good morning, Burke.
Awesome. And I understand we're going to be doing some stuff with the GitHub pull request and issues extension, which people may not be familiar with, but I'll hand it over to you to talk about that and what's new this month.
That's right. Yeah. So normally when we think about VS Code as a text editor, it's really focused on the inner loop of development. So just writing the code, being able to build it and run it and test it locally. But there's this whole outer loop of software development that we care about as well, which is what are the processes on my team and how do I collaborate with them? And so this is an extension that we've been developing for a while. It's been available for a couple of years now. And this has to do with pull requests and issues on GitHub. And so recently we've been working on a new experience for creating pull requests, and that's what I'm going to show you today. So I already have open a test repository here, and I'm going to go ahead and create a new branch. So I really like to use the terminal a lot, so that's what I'm going to be doing here. I have a new branch. Let's make some changes. Let's go ahead and actually publish this branch. Okay, so as soon as I did that, GitHub actually comes back and tells me, here's a URL if you want to open a pull request. So I'm going to go ahead and command click on this. And we see the extension pops up this notification asking whether or not I want to create the pull request within VS Code or to continue on github.com. So let's use VS Code for this. So we can see that I can immediately choose the target and the source of my pull request. So right now, it's selected my repository and the current branch as where my changes are coming from. And this repository is actually a fork. So it's detected that there's an upstream repository and automatically selected that as well as the default branch for it. And it's pulled in the commit message as the title. And this repository has an issue template setup. So it's pulled that in automatically for the description if I want to edit this. And then at the bottom here, we can see that this is actually previewing my changes which is the diff between this branch and this branch. So I can actually just validate what I'm about to do before I actually submit it. I can also mark this as a draft. So if I'm not quite ready for people to review it immediately, I just check that box. But this looks good to me, so I'm going to go ahead and just click Create here. And so now we see that this new page has automatically popped up. I can see this description, all of these commits that were different between those two branches. And if I want to, I can actually just jump to GitHub and confirm that this has indeed been created. So that is the new create experience for the GitHub pull request extension. let's see, it looks like we have a question about whether or not this will work with corporate GitHub deployments. So currently the extension doesn't support GitHub Enterprise, but there is actually a pull request from a community member for adding support for this. So I hope to get that merged in soon.
Awesome. Question for you, Rachel. I noticed that when you were going through and creating this pull request, you did it from, or the change rather, like you did all that from the terminal and then you did the pull request with VS Code. Mm-hmm. And I actually do it the other way. So I do all of the changes through VS Code, and then I do the pull request on GitHub. Is there a right or wrong way to do this? Like, what's the flow that we expect people to use here?
I think there are a lot of different ways you can do this. So I actually also frequently sometimes use the source control view just because it's very easy to stage changes here. So I myself also don't always use the terminal. That's just my most common flow. So I think there are a lot of great ways to work with this tool.
So there's no wrong way to GitHub.
That's no wrong way to GitHub.
Now, I noticed that you talked about the inner loop and the outer loop. Could you clarify a bit more what we mean by that? Like, what is the end goal here? Are we trying to recreate GitHub inside of VS Code?
Yeah. So, no. GitHub.com will always be the first class sort of place for all the GitHub things. We really want sort of just like the 90% experience recreated in VS Code. So we're not going to hit all the points. We're not going to be able to fully recreate all of it. But we want you to be able to do most things there. And if you need to go to github.com, that's fine. Github.com is obviously great. I'm on it all the time, every day. So you shouldn't be afraid to go to that instead of using VS Code for it.
Nice. So I guess just use what works best for you. I noticed also that when you did the pull request, and you talked about this, how it knew that you had a fork of a parent repo. Mm-hmm. But you can't submit a PR without an upstream. So how did you add the upstream before the video started, or how exactly did that work?
Yeah, so there's been another recent change in the extension to automatically do this detection. So when you first open your repository, the extension checks on github.com to see if there is actually, if your current repo is a fork and if there's a parent to it. And if it sees that, it will go ahead and actually add the upstream remote for you so that you don't have to fiddle with that yourself.
Nice. All right. Question. If developers want to use this, what can they do to be of most help? I know that there's two versions of this. There's a nightly version and there's a regular version. Like, where can they get this extension, and which one would you like them to use?
Sure. Yeah. So both of them are already available in the marketplace. So this is just the normal version, which is GitHub pull requests and issues. But then there's also somewhere down in this list, there's one that's called GitHub pull requests nightly. And so that's one that is released every single day. So that has all of our newest changes. So I think the majority of users are still using the GitHub pull requests and issues one. And I would still recommend that just because it's the more stable version of the extension. But sometimes if you run into an issue and I'm working on fixing it, I do appreciate when people will try it out in the nightly version just to verify the fix.
Nice. Thank you for that, folks who do use the nightly version. And thank you for also those who use VS Code Insiders. Just a reminder, if you use that, it really helps us to identify things so that they work when they get to everybody else who's in stable. So it's one of the biggest things you can do to help us. Thanks so much, Rachel. Appreciate it. Those are the updates on the new pull request flow in the GitHub pull request and issues extension. Awesome. All right. So we cut Rachel off there at the end. All right. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you so much for being with us. All right. Moving right along, we have Megan. And Megan, I'm going to do my best to pronounce your last name, but I'm just going to say, is it Rogue?
It's Rogie.
Oh, I was so close. My name is Burke, and people often say Berkey, and I don't even correct them anymore. I'm just like, yeah, it's close
enough. Yeah.
So Megan's going to talk about terminal profiles. What is a terminal profile, and why is it important?
Yeah. So let's get started. I'll just share my screen. But we wanted to create profiles so that you can readily create specific types of terminals. So as you see here, we've provided some default profiles with the most commonly used for Windows. And we do this for the other platforms as well. But you can just quickly create the terminals without having to change anything else. And I want to show you how easy it is to actually configure these so you can have custom ones. So as you can see, it's per platform. And so here are the default ones. As you can see, we have this type source where we pretty much handle the logic for you, or you can provide a path and args directly. You can also add arguments to the source types. So I'll just demonstrate doing that. So let's say that you want a clean PowerShell environment to run a script without activating your profile. So you might want something like, we would call it like no profile. And so I'll just use the source here of PowerShell and then add args, which are just no profile. And can I add a comma here and save? There we go. Then this appears here, PowerShell no profile, and I can just create it directly. And if I want to use this name specifically for the terminal, then I just add the argument of override name and set that to true. So then when I create a PowerShell no profile, that is the name of the terminal. And then I can also check.
Hey, Megan, real quick, sorry. Would you mind bumping up your font size maybe once or twice? Sorry.
Yes.
There we go. Perfect. Thank you.
So I can view the configured and detected profiles here. So as you can see, the profile I just added is right there, and it lists the argument that I added. So are there any questions?
There we go. Oh, I was talking, but no one can hear me because I was backstage. I'm talking to myself, to the walls. Thank you, Megan. Yeah, so before, I guess the experience was you got just the shell that you had configured, and you could create many instances of that shell. So maybe that ZSH, maybe it's PowerShell. But you couldn't have, like in the new Windows terminal has tabs for a command line, an Ubuntu terminal, a PowerShell terminal, and you can now do that same thing inside of Visual Studio Code. Is that the right summation?
Yes, that's correct. Before, you would have to select your default shell type, and then you could press the plus and create those, but we wanted to allow users to just with pretty much one click create various types of profiles and configure the ones they want to see. And regarding the default ones, I can just show you. Let's say I don't care about git bash. If I set this to null, now it no longer shows up in this. So you have full control over what you can easily and quickly select. And that is the goal.
So what happens then if I'm using something like the settings sync and I go to a different machine that has different shells on it? Do I get a menu of shells that don't exist, or how does that work?
Well, these are synced with Settings Sync, I believe, per machine. And you can also have workspace settings that define these. So you can really customize this a lot.
So would you recommend putting this in the user settings or the workspace settings? Like, what is the right place to make these customizations?
Where I put my customizations is in the user settings. So that's what I would recommend.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So those are the new terminal profiles. It's the little things that make life so nice. You can get all your terminals in the same place. Thank you, Megan.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's talk about machine learning and artificial intelligence, because that's hot these days and everybody's interested. So for that, we have Sid. Sid's going to come talk about, what are we talking about, Sid? What does ML have to do with VS Code? I can't wait to find out.
Hey, yeah. Thanks so much for having me, Burke. So I'm here today to show an exciting enhancement that we've made to the ML dev experience powered by the Azure ML extension for VS Code. So with that, I'll just get started. So as someone who works on various ML projects, one of the things that I'm often constrained by is the computing power of my laptop or my desktop. So training large and more complex models actually puts quite a bit of a strain on my machine, and it makes me hard to context switch between projects and tasks as I'm working on my computer. So now I recognize that this may not be a problem that all of you might have, or if you're not doing anything machine learning related, or if you're not using the cloud at all. But if this is something that you can relate to, or if you're generally interested in kind of dipping your toes in the cloud machine learning world, then the Azure Machine Learning extension is actually a great starting point. So one thing that I would want to do is try and upgrade the compute that I have so that I can start developing my machine learning models. The extension allows me to kind of rapidly create a new compute resource, as you see here. I'm just going to call this kind of more power. Right now I'm on a 16 gig, 4-core CPU laptop. But now maybe something that I want to upgrade to is a 24-core machine with a GPU, as you can see through some of these options. So I'll click one of these. I'll say that I don't want SSH access. And then kind of immediately, the quick pick prompts that I just went through lead to this compute instance in Azure Machine Learning that's being created. While we kind of wait for this compute to be created, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, how I intend to use it. And Burke, as you mentioned in the beginning, how does this relate to VS Code? So as I said, I'm motivated to using this newly created compute to develop my machine learning code and train my models. So historically, with something like Azure ML, I would have to use one of JupyterLab, or embedded notebooks in the Azure portal to work directly against this new compute asset. Unfortunately, though, from an editing and development standpoint, those tools can sometimes be missing kind of comprehensive source control, debugging, extensibility, and file management support, which, I mean, as you might know, are all things that otherwise I would have access to through VS Code. So this is where things kind of get exciting with the compute that I've created, which is still taking a little bit of time. So let me show you the experience for a different one. But with these computes that I've created, I no longer have to go anywhere else to get the full-fledged developer experience that kind of works seamlessly with my Azure assets. I can discover my compute assets through the Azure Machine Learning extension, as you see here, right-click on any one of them, and connect to the compute instance. And so this you see here immediately invokes a remote connection to my Azure Machine Learning compute without the need for SSH or any additional networking configuration. And so once I'm connected here, I have access to kind of all of the files and folders that are Azure Machine Learning related. So this is actually a shared file share that's on that compute. And I can immediately get started working in a in Python scripts or in a notebook because there are automatically installed extensions such as the Python extension and the Jupyter extension. So thinking about it from the lens of, you know, someone who's working on a data science team, I no longer face any bottlenecks when wanting to use VS Code with my cloud compute. The Azure ML extension makes it such that all of this works seamlessly without SSH, and it supports various types of networking configurations, everything from kind of think of something that's fully public to private endpoints within a VNet. And then another thing to highlight is that if I had any administrative teams, they're no longer worried about the security implications of managing passwords, keys, certificates that come with SSH. Myself and my administrative teams are kind of confident that all of my connections here, this connection that I have to this compute, it's audited correctly. I can access compliant data, and I'm doing so through a securely established connection, all kind of managed both by Azure ML and VS Code through the Azure Machine Learning extension. So one thing that I want to just quickly highlight here is this picture. So that isn't working, but that's okay. Let me see if I can find it in a notebook file. I should have that as well. Just give me one second. Great. Okay. So for all of you that are familiar with kind of remote extensions such as WSL, containers, or SSH, you'll be kind of happy or interested to know that what we've done here is that we've architected it in a very similar manner. So the Azure ML extension establishes a WebSocket connection between my local my desktop client and VS Code server that's now running on that remote compute. Through this WebSocket connection, the extension is capable of transmitting data directly to VS Code server such that I as a user can interact with the shared file share, terminal process, running applications on the compute, and the debugger. And so honestly, from this point onwards, I have the full-fledged VS Code experience, but on this machine learning compute. So I can do things like run notebook cells. I can do things like set breakpoints, navigate to the debug tab, run the debugger. You'll see that everything that I'm, all the kind of files that I'm interacting with, all the terminal processes that I'm invoking are all on the remote compute. And one of the neat things here with this kind of connection to this machine learning compute is that any files that I add or remove are automatically in sync with the file share that I can also interact with through the Azure ML Studio or portal. And so finally, just coming back to the editor, this is advantageous because I can use kind of rich source control UI to manage my Git repos. I can work with all of my favorite extensions, some of which are pre-installed on my behalf. And so just to wrap up, Burke, the thing that I want to let everyone know is that this is a capability that's available to everyone that has the Azure Machine Learning extension installed. You can learn more about what I've shown here through our newly published blog post, which there should be a link to right now. And then finally, if you're a data scientist, you're a machine learning practitioner in VS Code, you're kind of interested in getting started with Cloud ML, AI in Azure, we'd love for you to give the Azure Machine Learning extension and kind of this newly enhanced developer experience a try.
Awesome. Well, we're out of time here, Sid, up on the end of this. I have so many questions, though, like how this works with remote, because I see the remote there, and do dev containers work? I mean, we'll save all that for another time. Yep. Well, I guess the one thing that I took away from this is that, I mean, these compute environments are portable now. So in theory, if I had a Chromebook or a Raspberry Pi, I could mine Bitcoin. I mean, do machine learning on those in VS Code without having any sort of proper compute at all. All I need is enough compute to run VS Code.
Yeah, exactly. So long as you have VS Code installed and you have VS Code installed, the Azure Machine Learning extension, you can kind of immediately hook the extension up to the ML compute that's obviously remote, and you can do whatever it is that you want.
That is awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here with us, folks. Check out that extension. Get you a 24 core VM. I'm sure that's extremely affordable.
Yep. Thanks so much.
Probably nothing. All right. It's probably $80 a second. All right. Just a couple folks. Christian, I see you here with your beverages. Thorsten, you were looking for your beverage. I hope you found it. Thank you for being with us. Igor, we love you. You love us. We love you. We love you. All right. Next up, we are going to talk about notebooks. And Tana is here to tell us about notebooks. Now, Tana, before I turn it over to you, I'm going to queue it up here and say, I'm familiar with notebooks in Python. I don't know that everybody is, but these notebooks do a little bit more than that. So go ahead, take it away. Oh, I think you're muted.
There you go. So some of us on the VS Code team, we've been thinking about notebooks a lot. And you're right, notebooks exist in Python, and that the most common format is Jupyter. But we were thinking about, what about custom notebooks? Notebooks that aren't really for just doing coding, but anything else that you want. So in one of those explorations, we were thinking, hey, REST calls might be useful in a notebook format. So I can show you guys what that looks like. So I have this simple Express app right now. Just has a couple of points, API points, and I can create this notebook called RESTbook, which is available in the marketplace, which I'll show you in a second. And in here, I can actually hit my Express app. So it's running already in the background. And as you can see, I can get the full response from my Express app. And this is all within VS Code, so I don't have to switch to another app or anything. And I can even switch the view so I can actually see what the UI of that looks like, which is the normal Express app. And then I can look at other things in my Express application. So for example, I can look at what are the different API points, and apparently I can access users, their passwords, and their social security numbers. So let's look at what users I have. So cool part about notebooks is that you can do everything that you would normally expect to do in other VS Code editors. So you can copy and paste cells. So in here, let's say, what does users look like? Cool. And I can see like all the results of that. And then along with every other REST application, we can also do post requests. So let's say I want to post it here. Oh, whoops, that is the wrong endpoint. I think I have to do this. And if I just run it, I didn't send anything. So let's add some messages. So world. And cool. And then with this extension, you can do things like search for keywords within the extension. So if you have a really long response, you can check if something that you're expecting to be there is there. You can search for keywords in all of the data available from the request. And then as well as you can actually save these responses in your machine. So you can actually just save the full JSON of everything that came back. And this extension is currently available to use in the Insiders version of VS Code. So if you just search for RESTbook, right here, and you can grab it now. Note, you do have to run this on Insiders just because this is on one of our newer notebook APIs. And you should always be up to date with Insiders just because we're changing it up every single day to make it better every day. So it might break in some older versions. But yeah, that was it.
That was awesome. This is one of my favorite features. So cool. And I don't know that as many people know about it and are using it as would if they did. And you built this extension here, this RESTbook. How do the rest of us build it if we want to?
That's a great question. This was actually really easy to build. It was not that much work. And I can show you guys next week in a talk when we actually talk more about notebooks and how to make your own custom notebooks with whatever applications you want.
Awesome. So join us for that. We're going to teach you how to make your own notebooks. And by we, I mean Tana. I'm just going to be here giving you links. But this is awesome. Also, check out the RESTbook. It has, 46 downloads. I feel like that should be 46 million. Let's put some zeros on that. Thank you so much, Tana, for being with us. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week during the live stream.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks.
Awesome. So just a few last notes. Shulman, thank you for being here. Yes, we are going to have this content is recurring. So we do a live stream, do a release for our live stream every month. I think that's right. We do one of those. And then we have some others. We had one with Tap9, which was an AI assisted coding. And then Tana's going to come up and do one next week, teaching you how to build your own notebooks. I've seen this session. It's incredible. So don't miss that. So join us for that. I think the last thing that you need to know is just check us out at code.visualstudio.com/livestream. Producer, can we get that up? I know we're running out of time. Perfect. That's all you need to know right there. Get to that link. Join us next week. We'll see you next time. Thank you so much to all our presenters, and thank you to you for being with us today. We'll see you next week.